So,
that's right. We're holding the Maseches Brachos Daf Hey. Towards the bottom, it's actually the last of the small lines. Yeah, and this is what you might call a Shas classic. It's a famous story in Shas about more Yisurin suffering. What's going on? This is the suffering of an Amora, Rav Huna. So the story is, it says, Rav Huna, Takfulei Arba Mea Dani Dechamra. We actually, I'm going to learn this Gemara through like I did last night with other sugya. I'll read it through like kind of once I'm through, beginning to end, and then we'll go back and take it apart piece by piece, all the details, so you don't lose the force of the trees. So he had 400 barrels, Dani Dechamra, barrels of wine, and they went bad. Al Gabe, so they came to visit him, because, you know, this is a serious, serious catastrophe. Rav Yehuda Achua, the Rav Sala Chasida. Rav Yehuda, the brother of this person, Rav Sala Chasida. V'Rabbanan, and the rest of the rabbinic gang followed along. V'Amri, and they say it to V'Amri La, Rav Adar Ba'ahava, V'Rabbanan. Some people say it, sorry? Yeah, exactly. Some people say it was a different rabbi, that it was Adar Ba'ahava and the Rabbanan. V'Amri Le, and they said, what they say to poor Rav Huna, La'ain mar b'milay, you know, look into your, examine your ways, like we saw previously we saw Mefash b'shamasav, you know, try to figure out why, what did Hashem brought this catastrophe upon you? Amar lahu, so Rav Huna said to him, wait a second, umi chashidna b'neichai, are you suspecting of something? What are you trying to suggest? Amar lahu, they said to him, well, mi chashid kadosh baruch hu, you think Hashem did something that's not fair? Davad dina below dina, that he would do judgments, he would do something that's unjust. So obviously there must be some justice here. Amar lahu, I'll go back and do it again after this. But Amar lahu, so he said to him, Ikaman de shmil alai milsa lema. If someone heard something about me, so fine, cough it up. What'd you hear? Amar lahu, he said to him, Hachi shmilan, this is what we heard. Lo yahiv mar, that you didn't, mar being the master, that you didn't give shavisha are like the branches, Larise, to your sharecropper. In brief here, when you hire a sharecropper to do work, what happens is you share a portion, a proportion of the harvest. So if you're a grape vintner, so you're going to end up giving him a portion of the wine and also a portion of the branches. The branches have value too. So the point is that he had a deal, I'll go 50-50 with you and his sharecropper, Bonagid, and they said, we heard you didn't give your full 50% of the branches to your sharecropper. Amar lahu. So he said to them, Omika shavikli midi minei. Are you kidding me? Did he leave me anything? You know, whatever I gave him, now he, for every one I gave him, two, he stole more. Whatever, I'm making the numbers up. The point is, he either last crop or this crop, you know, he stole from me. Hakaganev le kule. He stole the whole thing from me. Amrulay, so they said back to him, Haina Dama Inchi, now that's what people say, Basar Ganva Ganav, the guy who steals from the thief, Vatamatayim, he gets the taste of the taste of what it means to be a thief. So don't think, you know, just rough translation, pardon. Yeah? Amrulahu, so the story is, the Rav Huna, about him, Kiblana Alai, he said to them, listen, he said to them, I will accept upon myself to do what you said, that I'll give him his, like, so to speak, fair share, if you will. I mean, his unfair share, but the part that I withheld from him, I'll give him back those branches. And that's what he did. Igda Amri, some people said what happened. Hadar Chala Vahave Chamra. Magic happened, and his vinegar turned back to being wine. Igda Amri, some people said no. It stayed as vinegar. No miracle. Open miracle. However, Iker Chala, the value of vinegar, you know, surged. The Isvin b'demei dechamra, and he actually sold the vinegar at the price of wine. Happy ending to the story. That's a story. I'll go through it one more time, like just with all the little, you know, footnotes. So first of all, again, so Rav Huna takifulei arba mea dani dechamra. 400 barrels of wine went bad on him, went soured on him. The number 400 is found many times as a lashon guzma. I didn't this time around see who said it explicitly, but I've seen it else times. The number, what? It's exaggeration. In other words, we say like a million. Our version of a million, you know, we don't mean literally a million, we mean like, you know, a lot. So the point is, oftentimes you'll see that the Gemara used the number 400 to mean a lot, a lot. And it may not be, guz means an exact, like it may not be literally 400 to the penny. Like, you know, he lost a fortune. I didn't see anybody say on this particular sugya, so maybe yes, maybe no. I'm just giving you a heads up. Anyways, you'll see it like 400 parsels, the various rails start shaking. You'll see 400 comes up a lot. 300 too, by the way, 300 and 400. Why those numbers are there? Yeah, well, look at the Maral and see why 400. Huh? Yeah, so it could be speculative. I didn't see it. I'm sure the Maral discussed it with his other numerology discussions. That the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the tough, is the 400. Like, you know, the last number, like a million. Whatever it is, either literally or not, I'm just giving you a heads up. You see 400 come up many times. So then, Al Gabay, Rabbi Huda, Achud, Rav Salid, Chesed, Rabbanim, Va'amrla, and some say Rav Ada, Va'ava, Rabbanim, Va'amrla, line mark. Bamile, you should like look into your, you know, examine your ways. A reference back to the previous more about the Mefash Mechamasa. So that's so far so good. So now, Amr Lahu, he said to him, Umicha Shidna Beinechem, did you suspect me of something? So, and he said back to him, Amr Lahu, Micha Shidna Kadosh Baruch Hu David Dina Belo Dina. You think it's going to be that Hashem will do justice, do something that is unjust? So now, Tosos again start jumping up and down screaming. It's the same sheet of Tosos throughout all the sugyas, where like he rejects this notion that nothing bad will happen to you if you're a tzaddik. He like rejects that. We saw it yesterday, and again, he says, no, that's ridiculous. There are plenty of tzaddikim that have bad things happen to them. That's not mistaver. So Tosos learns the pshat is that he got the hint. Like the fact that they're coming, you know, or pointing fingers and saying, oh, maybe you should look into what you did wrong. That's not normal. He got the hint, obviously, that they heard something, and therefore, by them pushing him, they're prodding him, they're awaiting him to, in a polite way, say, okay, so what's the news? What do you hear? Therefore, he said, Amar Lahu. So he said to him, Ikaman de Shmi'alai Milsa. If you heard something, so Lema, tell me what it was. Amar Lahachi Shmi'alan, this is what we heard. Delay Yahav Mar Shabisha Larisa. You didn't give the ranches to your sharecropper. So now he says, Amar Lahu. He said to him, Omika Shavitli Midi Mine. Did he leave me anything? He stole everything from me. So here, there's a funny Rashi. Rashi learns this is his objection. You guys, I'm putting up. He says, why would you suspect me and not him? Obviously, we have a fight. Why would you? You're going to assume someone that's been wrong. Why would you assume it's me? You should assume it's him. Now, the Ber Maim Chaim, that's on the, you know, in the Hilchos Lashon Hara and the Chofetz Chaim there. Kal Yud Oslam Aleph. He asks, how come this isn't? He asks, like, what you might ask, why is this Lashon Hara? He's pointing fingers at the guy said that this guy's a thief. So he gives two answers. His main answer is that this sharecropper was already known to be a thief, and therefore he learned that. Then Rashi learns Rashi's kind of strange take on it of why he expects me more than him is now reads very good. Kovetz Chaim learns that. Like the Rashi is saying this shot that he's saying, once you guys already know who I'm dealing with, so why would you come pointing fingers at me? Obviously, something fishing on with him. So, Chofetz Chaim learns that would not be lashon hara if ready to you do a thing. The other approach that he gives, the second teretz in terms of lashon hara, is this. There's a lot of like it's a long lamed aleph that lamed aleph is long. It's like complicated. So I'm not on this point. Don't go past the practical aleph on. But basically, he says that to save your name could well, you may not be entitled to this, you know, defend yourself. That may be Lashon Hara. But here, where essentially he stood nothing to gain from it, he was only simply clearing his name to first covet, that could be okay. That could be okay. Tzarech Ian about the other conditions that are required to be able to do that. So that's not so pasha. But anyway, that's the second teretz, that to, if he had nothing, he was not standing to gain nothing, he just was clearing his name for his own honor, that would be acceptable to push off the chashad of him. So he said, listen, what do you want from me? You know who I'm dealing with. And this guy, he, you know, let's learn, I'll make a nokimta, like one, some unfortunate learn. The last season when I dealt with him or whatever, last time, he totally reamed me. So now this time when I let him do it, so I could get back what he took from me the first time. And I made up my losses. Fine. So they say to him, well, that's not okay. They say, Anadami Inchi, that's what people say, you know, you steal from the thief and you end up being, you're like a, have the tongue of thief also. Now, the funny thing with this, again, the fortune of Shonamar asking the Kasha, There's a sugya in Bava Kama asking, can a person take super legal action to recover his loss? Oftentimes, I mean, I'm sure you're aware that the halakhas of claims in court, it's quite, you need two witnesses oftentimes, which is hard to come by. Witnesses are hard to come by oftentimes. Someone, you know someone stole something from you, but you can't prove it, or you lack the witnesses, or the, I don't know, the witness was your brother, who knows what the story is. So you know for certain, but you just can't get it back to him. So it's a big, you know, a big story about if Ava Inish Dina Lenafshi, if a person can take, you know, matters, you know, vigilante justice, take matters into his own hand. And the halacha comes out, it's a sugya in Bava Kama and Chavzayin. It comes out, the halacha, that we pass, yes, a person may indeed take matters into his own hand under certain circumstances. Now, that being the case, what's wrong here? He basically just took what was rightfully his, so that should be a fulfillment of this principle, which he's allowed to do, given the fact he wouldn't be able to get it through normal, you know, he has a witness, or whatever the story, it's through normal judicial process. So if that's true, if we pass an Avad Inish Dinla Nasha, your person can take matters into his own hands, so what did he do wrong? What did Ravuna do wrong in taking back what was rightfully his? So, I don't know, the primary, it seems to me, approach is that a person's allowed to do, this on the Ramah, I'm saying most because it's the Ramah, bottom line, that Ramah learns like this, that you're allowed to take matters into your own hands to get back your thing that someone took from you. Someone stole your car, you could break into his house, get the keys and take it back. But if someone last week stole from you $10, to go and steal from, like, you know, steal back from him $10 another day, or to, he took your car so you're going to take his boat, that's not okay. That's like, that's just being a thief. It's, you're allowed to get back what was yours. And that's how the sugya, maybe you should learn that sugya over there in the Bava Kama. If he has your thing, you can get it back. But beyond that, you can't steal. What's stealing? Two wrongs don't make a right, I guess. Two wrongs don't make a right is probably a loose analog to this idiom in Aramaic, Adam of, when you steal from the thief, you're, you have a taste of being a thief. In any case, that's the Ramah learned, that's the Pasha, so it's here wouldn't be okay. There's another fascinating approach, which is fascinating, which is you're allowed to take matters into your own hand, but you can't do it sort of surreptitiously. You can't do it like under the radar. If you're going to take back your car, you got to come there, knock on the door, 8 o'clock at night with a baseball bat, break in and say, I'm taking my car back, like it or not, you take it. Not in the night sneaking away and like telling what happened to it. That's going to be like clear to him and clear what's going on. You're taking back what justice allows you to take. And you're getting it back. So this sort of this backhanded stealing of the vine, that's just not okay. Okay, fine. That's neither here nor there. Right? Now, so fine. So that's we're trying to focus on that point. That's the big halachic issue here. And fine. So he accepted upon himself, and good things happened to him. There's a discussion elsewhere. I think it's actually in the ninth paragraph of Brachot, if I remember correctly, about if miracles happening to you is a sign of you being a very special person, or Adarava, if you'd be very special, Hashem wouldn't have to do miracles for you. And that could well be the Ikad Amri here. One story is a major miracle happened, and usually what happens is you have wine and it goes bad, it turns to vinegar. Here, magic happened and went back to being from vinegar to being wine. So that might be indicative, perhaps, of like not the kind of nace that you'd want to have happen to you. It's not really a high level of things, Hashem doing that kind of miracle. Maybe the second answer is like, you know, Derech HaTeva, there was like a run on the you know, the vinegar markets, and boom, Rahuna made a killing and got his money back anyways. Okay, go on.